God patiently waited in the days of Noah. That line really stuck out to me this week for some reason as I sat with today's scripture. I think part of it is because I'm growing in an awareness of my own impatience this week. I feel like, is it almost the end of Lent? Keeps coming up in my mind. And then I realize it's the first weekend of Lent. And I just grow in even more impatience. And so maybe that's why that line like has just been sitting with me. And so I was curious, God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. What span were we talking about there? How long was God patiently waiting? And so I started looking up several sources, and most scholars say that from Genesis, we can know that span from when God first said, I'm going to flood the earth, to when the flood actually happened, was 120 years. 120 years. God patiently waited. Patiently waited for Noah to finish his work and just get done so that God could go on with what he had said, or patiently waited for something else. I think it's really important that we kind of sit and we think about this reality, because St. Peter, he pulls it out for a reason. He's speaking about this 120 years that God patiently waited. And it's important, our first pope believed it was important for the Christian people to know that reality about our God. And I think part of it is because we look at the story of Noah, and it's kind of difficult, honestly. A lot of times we want to just leave it in kind of a fairy tale or a bedtime story sort of realm. Like, it's such a cute little story where two little bunnies and two little giraffes and two little horses go on to this ark. Or we're on the other end, and we're like, whoa, what kind of God would flood the earth? This is a God of wrath and punishment. Both of those aren't really right. And so St. Peter, in a way, in this letter, in our second reading, is pulling out the reality of what this story is about. It's about repentance. It's about the desire that our God has for our hearts to be fulfilled. It's the reality of a promise marked by a sign that we are invited into so that our hearts would be transformed and therefore fulfilled. And it's, I think, a very appropriate reading for us to have this weekend as we look at the rainbow as a sign of that covenant. That the reality that we're talking in terms of a covenant here. Covenant is a relationship. It's not a contract. This is not that story is not about God destroying humanity because they broke the contract. It's about God patiently, throughout all of salvation history, revealing more fully to our hearts the promise of who he is and what we are invited to be in that relationship. And so for us to have this story, to have this great sign within this story is perfect, because in our Mass catechesis, we're at the point now where we're going to talk about the sign of the cross. We're finally at the beginning of Mass in this homily series. And so the sign of the cross we see as another sign of the covenant, and actually the greatest, the fulfillment of the covenant. And so when we begin Mass, we mark ourselves with that sign. And I want to focus on two different aspects of that piece of the Mass. The sign of the cross, there's two main things that it entails. The first is the physical action where we trace the cross on ourselves. And it's not just tracing the image, but as we do that, it's a proclamation in many ways. It's an act of faith saying my whole being, my whole body, mind, soul is going to be conformed to this reality, the cross. The cross is the moment of triumph. The cross is the moment where sin is defeated, where death is defeated, where life is promised, where the revelation of that promise and our invitation into it is revealed. And so it makes total sense that we would sign ourselves with that sign of the covenant, of the relationship, that sign of perfect love. No greater love has anyone than this, to lay down their life for their friends. And we are reminded of that reality, the cross, where we see the perfect and the most clear sign of what love looks like. Complete gift of self for the good of other. The very nature of our God. The very reality that we enter into when we come to Mass. When we approach Calvary. When we share in that one sacrifice of love. And so it makes total sense that we would begin with that sign. The sign of the cross. Marking ourselves as disciples of the cross. Christ tells us, if you would be my disciples, pick up your cross and follow me. And so each time we begin Mass, we identify ourselves by that reality. We identify ourselves by that sign. Now there is the action of the sign of the cross, but what accompanies it is a proclamation, a statement, identifying who our God is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We proclaim our God's identity as a communion of persons, saying this is the community to which we are promised. This is the unity to which we are invited into. The reality that will fulfill our hearts. This is the image in which we are made. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a communion of persons who are eternally giving self to other. That is the identity of love poured out. And it is an identity to which we are called. And so there are many different, ways that we see the sign of the cross. And I think sometimes we do it without even thinking. And yet there's this need for us to be intentional about signing ourselves. Because this is the sign of the fulfilled covenant. This is a sign to which we are conforming ourselves. And sometimes we see different variations. There are some cultures that will make an additional cross out of their index finger and thumb and kiss that after they are finished signing themselves. Our brothers and sisters in our Eastern Rite, they will take their first three digits and press them together as a sign of that Trinitarian identity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and keeping the other two fingers separated as a sign of Christ's full divinity and humanity, the two natures of Christ, and then sign themselves, and they actually go to the other shoulder first. There are variations, but the bottom line remains that we sign ourselves, we mark ourselves with that image of love, the image of the covenant, the image of the cross. And we proclaim the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that our God is a Father who so loved the world that he gave his only Son to be our Savior, to die on the cross, to give his life. And as he's breathing his last breath, he breathes out that Holy Spirit upon his church. We proclaim that reality to which we enter into every time we make that sign of the cross. And so may we grow in awareness of that we pick up our cross every time that we sign ourselves. May we intentionally recognize that great sign and desire to be invited more fully into that covenant, into that relationship, so that our hearts may be fulfilled. May we grow in an openness and an awareness of this reality every time that we sign ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.